Right, Steve, welcome. You know what? I'm saying welcome, but we've actually been sitting here talking now about the kingdom of God for, I don't even know how long, for a while.
Probably 20 to 30 minutes at least, and we keep going, Jonathan, why aren't you rolling?
We're here in Jonathan Ayala's studio, and Reframe is the name of the studio. So thankful.
Such a cool place.
For Jonathan opening the door and just hosting us here and all the work that goes into to what he does.
Absolutely.
To make this all that it is. So thank you so much, Jonathan.
He is one talented guy. Music, the video production, everything.
He can do it all.
We love you, Jonathan.
Anyway, back to the kingdom of God. You know, when you say the kingdom of God, it's such a blanketed statement. There's so much detail in the kingdom of God, and it's thrown out, the word the kingdom of God, I think sometimes is just thrown out like a blanket statement without really giving it the respect it's due, the honor that it's due for what it really is.
It becomes this generic kind of catch-all of religion, Christian religion or something.
If you say the kingdom of God or I'm seeking the kingdom of God, then we've got it, right? We're seeking it. But if you ask someone, what does that actually mean? You know, I wonder how many people would scratch their head and say, well, I mean, it means, the kingdom of God.
Yeah. So, well, I think something really fascinating that you've been touching on about lately is this idea, because I think when a lot of times with the church, you talk about the kingdom of God and sometimes I think people either think of it as, okay, that's like where we go when we die. We go off like it's heaven, as if heaven is somehow synonymous with the idea of kingdom of God. But Jesus obviously said the kingdom of God is within you and the kingdom of God is at hand. And then some people think of the kingdom of God as something that we as the church maybe are supposed to manifest almost as like some new kind of political system on the earth, you know? But you've been talking a lot lately about this idea that, you know, we're not meant to, the kingdom of God isn't about influencing the earth, being an influence in the earth. It's about really being an influence back to heaven.
Yeah, well, a couple of things. Number one, yes, exactly. Jesus said, he taught us to acknowledge that the kingdom of God wasn't here or there. He said it like this. He said, if someone comes to you and says, the kingdom of God is over here, the kingdom of God is over there, or it's another day, he said, don't believe it. He said, the kingdom of God is within you. The other, we'll just call it a glitch in identifying the kingdom of God, is thinking that not only is it another place, but it's another time.
Yeah.
You know, we call these podcasts Pulling on Heaven, because what that says to me, and what I've talked about numerous times, is the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That scripture literally means the kingdom of heaven is within our grasp. Not tomorrow, not we're getting there, not we're this close to taking a hold of that rope, and the rope identifying the ability to pull, to manifest, to touch heaven and to be touched by heaven right here, right now, just as if a rope were draped around our shoulders like we often do, and just say, right here, this is where the kingdom of God is. And the reason for that, there's a couple of reasons. Number one, it's saying there's no waiting time. There's no distance between the kingdom of God and us. And it's not sometime down the road. It's right here, wrapped and draped around us, our shoulder. The kingdom of heaven, I take it very, very literally, the kingdom of heaven is within us. So then, what all does that mean? You know, how do we identify what that means? Jesus said that it's by his spirit, not by might or by power, but by his spirit, says the Lord. So then a lot of times when we think about the kingdom of God, it's almost like, well, let's see how well can I do, or how much can I do, you know, how close am I to that kingdom power, as it were, and what is that kingdom power?
Paul talked about, I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me.
Yeah.
And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. And so I think that the kingdom of heaven and of being alive right now and being within us is really about, are we by faith allowing God to manifest the fullness of who he is inside of us, so that we are the reflection and expression of who he is in the world by his spirit, not that we are becoming Christ, but Christ's nature is becoming fruitful within us, so that he left, sent his spirit to create a million representations of himself until whatever time it is that he does come back and reconciles all things.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. The power of the kingdom isn't a place, and it can be a place, the kingdom of heaven, the presence of God. But what Jesus was saying, if you read the scriptures, you watch the life, you read the life that he lived, his message was all about the kingdom of God being at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And what does that mean? We become a kingdom unto ourselves. Mm. So man always, it's like he has to step on one side or the other of him being in control or out of control. And we have to walk on that path that says, Christ within me, the hope of glory. It's no longer I that lives. And that can be a mind twister if you're trying to work that out and negotiate that in your own mind. And meaning that, you know, I'm not where I need to be today, but I'm going to get there. And that really that's a statement of doubt. That's a statement of a geographical location, meaning not here today, but tomorrow. And that's still a misstep, because we're not identifying what the kingdom of God is. The kingdom of God is God's mind, the heart of God, the kingdom of God, the identity of Christ, the personality, the spirit, the presence, the power. That's not something you can figure out. That's not something you can work your way or walk your way to. And the more you think it is, the further away you drift from the real identity of the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God is literally Christ came because of the word of God. God said he would come, and he came. And the word says he came in his fullness. So if he came in his fullness, how much more full can he come than in his fullness? Okay. And the word says he was the exact impression of the Father. He was the exact impression of the kingdom of God. So Jesus demonstrates his word, demonstrates signs, wonders, miracles, heals the blind, the deaf hear, the lame walk, the dead are raised. Remember, that's what he told the servants of John to tell John the Baptist when he was in prison, when they came based on John sending them saying, can we ask one more time?
Yeah.
I mean, is this the Christ? Are you the one, or are we looking for another? Okay, now let's back up just a little bit. John the Baptist confirms, look, there he comes, the Son of God. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Number two, he says, I know it's him because the Spirit of God told me, when you see the dove, the Spirit of God descend on him like a dove, this is the one. So John the Baptist, we call him, he was confirmed in his faith, in his heart, that this was the Son of God. But when he was imprisoned, when your head has a little time to try and wrap the idea of where you're going and what you're doing, and we try to figure and work it out, then all those multiplicity of questions begin to pour into your mind, and now you become what? Carnal-minded.
Wow.
For the carnal mind is not subject to the laws of God, neither indeed can it be. So he comes to Jesus through his servants. He says, tell John, we raise the dead, the sick are healed, the poor have the gospel preached to them. I am the one, just as he identified me. He didn't miss it, and it's here and it's now. Today, it's the same thing. It's like, when is he coming? When is it going to happen? He said, the word says, that he came in the fullness of the power of God. So do we believe that? Because we either believe that or we don't. And it doesn't have to do with us. As a matter of fact, it has very, very little to do with what we can do, what we can accomplish, and who we are. We hear that all the time, but yet we still
actually believe that.
I don't think so. In a lot of cases, I don't believe so. I think we say it, as kind of a religious blanket statement, and then we start trying to work it out in our heads. And, okay, now, I'm not where I need to be. Number one, stop saying that.
Yeah.
Say, as he is, so am I in this world. You don't have to be able to wrap your mind around it. Just let your faith identify it. And what do you mean by that? Let the word of God be your word. I say this all the time. Let your ear hear your mouth declare it. For with the heart man believes unto God, and with his mouth confession is made unto salvation. What does that mean? I just say, I don't get it all. I can't understand it. And that means he's God, because I can't figure out God. I can't figure out God with my mind to where it makes sense to me. So this really is a faith walk. The kingdom of heaven abides in me. And when you begin to do that, something changes. You don't have to circumvent everything to try and make it work out. You don't have to try and go around this and go around that. And, well, I don't know why. It just becomes a statement of truth. Kingdom of God abides in me. As he is, so am I in this world. I'm not going to be more like him tomorrow or next year or 5 years from now. What I'm going to do is I'm going to know him better. Yeah. I'm going to know him more. Paul said, I pray for you all the time, that by the spirit of knowledge and wisdom, you may know him better and you may know him more. And what that is going from faith to faith, acknowledging the kingdom of God is as full in me as it is ever going to be, because it's not based on my ability to be more full or to be more like God. It's on the work Christ is doing in the spirit of my mind, and I'm having a relationship with the Father to know him better. And the way that's happening is I've taken doubt out of my vocabulary. I've taken a timeline out of my vocabulary, and I'm acknowledging God for who he is, omnipresent, always with you, never leaving me, never forsaking me. When you begin to think that way, you begin to speak that way, now you're talking like the kingdom of God, ever present, ever powerful, ever full, ever now. And when you do that, your mind starts to change, and it adopts the attitude and the idea of the kingdom of God. And that begins to work in you. And you begin to change in your ideas of timelines and the presence and where he is and what is going on. And you start identifying the kingdom of God working in every area of your life. And that's a huge, huge, huge game changer.
That really is. And it makes me think of some of the ways that we, I guess you would call it, hinder our ability to embrace that or hinder that advancement within ourselves is like what you were saying, that doubt or I'm thinking of in Hebrews of it says that Christ came to cleanse our consciousness of sin, which means that's not even a way that we're meant to relate to God anymore. And yet that's the measuring stick that we go, whether I'm going to be there today, if I'm going to be there tomorrow, when am I going to be everything that I'm supposed to be in him?
Right.
You know, because I'm then measuring myself up against this metric that he removed that we're not supposed to measure ourselves up against or be conscious of. And because when we're conscious of that, it's back to us instead of being on him.
Yeah, you nailed it. It's the way we identify with him. That's why he said, or the scriptures tell us, we're crucified with him and it's no longer us that lives. Okay, that has to be a real thing.
Yeah,
it's no longer I that lives. You know, I've rejected the idea that I'm only human. We've heard that. We're only human. You know, we're only human and we're not perfect. I reject that attitude because Christ in me, if I really believe Christ is in me, now it's not me. I'm not identifying me. I'm not saying I have become anything.
Yeah.
I'm saying he has become everything. And that's the difference. It's how we identify with him. And the whole point of his crucifixion was not only to put away our sins and to shed his blood for our salvation, but to give us a consciousness free of the idea of selfishness, mm-hmm. of self-centeredness. You know, it's me trying to do, and I'm going to be better, and I'm only you're not only human. He that is born of God is born of spirit, and we are more spirit than we are anything else, because Christ is the fullness. God is, the word says, he's not a man, he's a spirit. Now, I'm not denying that we're human beings. Of course we are. But the way we think about who we are in him mm-hmm. can't be, I'm only human and I'm and no one's perfect. Well, that is the case, but it's not I that lives. So if I'm identifying how imperfect as a human being I am, then I'm not identifying how perfect as God he is in me. And so what I'm doing is the same thing they did in the Old Testament. They're mixing the law and the works of man. And Jesus said that was simply a teacher to point you in the direction to say two things. Number one, the word of God is true and powerful, and you can't do it on your own. There's no work in you that's going to make you perfect. You're not going to work it out well enough. You're not going to do it right enough that you're ever going to be any better than you are until you begin to believe it's not by might or by power. It's by the Spirit of God. The kingdom of God is abiding in me, and I'm dead. You have to take on the consciousness of being dead to sin, being dead to self. So you can't say I'm imperfect because it's not I that lives. And we're not saying I am perfect. What we're saying is I'm not making any identity relationship with anything. I'm not identifying with anything other than Christ. Paul said it like this. He said, I refuse to know anything among you save Christ and him crucified. Mm-hmm. That's how I'm going to approach everyone from this point forward. I'm going to approach myself. He said, I'm not judging myself, so your judgment of me doesn't mean anything. He wasn't saying I'm a perfect man. He wasn't talking about how perfect he was as a man. Mm-mm. He's identifying how perfect salvation in him is, how perfect the salvation of God is, how complete the kingdom of God is in us. That's what begins to change how you identify with God.
And that even goes beyond the Old Testament. I mean, it is the Old Testament, beyond the law, all the way back to Adam and Eve, right? Because it's they thought that they needed something more.
Something more.
They weren't already in the complete in him, and there was something that in some time, if they could, you know, do this thing, or after I eat this, some time will pass in that sense that then I will be like God, instead of that sense of, you know what, I just have to trust in what God said about who I am, regardless of what anything looks like, and rest in I'm already like him. I can walk in his identity.
Yeah.
And when we deny that in the now, and I think what I'm hearing you talk about, it's like when it's like this process of becoming something, or we want to point to that, you know, tomorrow this will happen or whatever, that's the same of saying I need something else.
Yeah.
Something else needs to happen first.
And it's doubt. It's unbelief because it's pushing it in the distance, but it's also doing something else. It's saying it's up to me to get there.
To get there, yes.
And when does that ever happen? It doesn't. You know, I've been married to my wife for 42 years.
Wow.
I'm no more married to her today than I was last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be no more married to her a year from now than I am today. There's a marriage, there's a union. And the word talks about our relationship with Christ is like, it's like a marriage. As a matter of fact, it's a mystery. And it really is in that relationship to Christ, okay? I'll never be any more Christ-like than I am today. And if I am, then it mustn't be Christ doing it. It must be me. Or it's actually Christ in me, and he is the fullness. Now, will I learn more? Will I grow in the knowledge of the Spirit? Will I grow? Will you grow in the knowledge of Spirit and power? Will I grow more next year or this year in the knowledge of a relationship with my wife? Will we learn new things together? Will we grow? Yeah, absolutely. But that doesn't make our marriage any better. It doesn't make it any stronger. It doesn't make it any more of a union than it was when I said, I do. And it's the same thing with Christ. When we say, I do, I receive him as Lord and Savior, if we would take on the identity that it's not me, it really isn't this thing that just happened, this miracle, this wonder of salvation, it has nothing to do with how good I am. Now, that is not a clause to say, well, then I can do anything I want. No. You just jumped on the other side of the fence. Yeah. You're still saying, I can do. No. It's not what we can do. It's who is Christ in me. I want to have more of, as Paul said, I want to know him better. I want to know him more. In his fullness, he abides in me. It takes away the restrictions that keep us bound to our past, that keep us bound to our pain, that keeps us bound to being weak in ourselves, and it gives us the ability to believe Christ in me as a hope of glory. What is God going to do today? And then when things happen, Here's another great thing. When things happen, when things seem to go awry, the trying of your faith, if you will, whether it is self-imposed or something happens and you just can't explain it, when you realize the kingdom of God is abiding in me, you start looking for the finger of God in what's going on. Yeah. And guess what? You find it every time. God is in all things. Of him, through him, to him are all things, to whom be glory, praise, and honor. You either believe that, Steve, or you don't. All things, Romans 8, 28, all things work together for good. To them that love him, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You either believe that or you don't. Yeah, well, how can you call this good? We're not saying what your experience feels good or looks good, but what God says is I'm in the middle, I'm in the thick of what's going on, and my finger, my handprint is there. If you'll look for it, you'll see what I'm doing, and you'll see something really great. We say this all the time, something really great is going to take place today. It has to be a statement of faith and what you believe so you can recognize the faithfulness of God. The kingdom of God is here, present in its fullness now. Christ will never be more full in us than he is because he came in his fullness.
Wow. So let's take that beyond a step, something that you've been talking about lately is this idea then that as we walk in the kingdom of God, as that's alive inside of us, we're not meant to, you made the statement, we're not meant to influence the world, we're meant to influence heaven.
Right.
Expand on that.
Well, so often we think that our call and our gifts are meant to be deployed in the earth in order to change the demographic, to change society. And only the Spirit of God can save a man. Only the Spirit of God can change a man's mind. We can't do it.
Yeah, I mean, Jesus didn't seem very interested in changing the society of his day, did he?
Well, they came to him and they said, you're king. You're who we've waited for. Now, they identified, you must be God. You must be God. Nicodemus said that, a scribe, a ruler. He said, you must be God because no one could do what you do. And he said, and we all of us agree that you must be from God. So they didn't deny that. But what they couldn't accept was that the kingdom of God was ruling without taking up a kingdom throne on the earth, because the word says, don't look at things below, look at things above. Don't set your mind on things of the earth, set your mind on the things of the kingdom. We're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so both can't be right. What we're to do is look up, for your redemption draws nigh. Seek first the kingdom of God. We influence the world, if you will, vicariously. We influence the world by the nature of seeking the kingdom of God, and then that kingdom that presides in us is what begins to make decisions in the earth, because Christ calls us his body. Mm-hmm. So if the body of Christ is in the earth, ruling by his Spirit in the body of Christ, whom we are, then the world begins to become influenced by the nature of the kingdom instead of us trying to influence the nature of the world.
Wow.
Which is ever changing. Yes. I mean, you know, today we like this and tomorrow we don't. You know, I mean, I've gone into a restaurant and had a great meal and said, man, this is the best meal, this is the best whatever I've had. And then maybe a month later I'm going in there saying, what happened? They changed the chef. I don't like that. I'm never coming back here. We're so fickle. You buy a new car and you see someone drive, you know, down the road and they have a different interior, a newer model. We're so fickle in our emotions. How can we expect our emotions to ever be refined to the point that we can change society into something that we're not? You can't.
No.
But the kingdom of God that abides in us, and if we will believe without emotion, and our emotions are moved. Listen, we all have emotions. We all have feelings. Everyone has those, what they call good days and bad days. But I look at it as another day, a different day, a different kind of day. God's doing something that needs to take place or something that I need to see. And if your mind is focused on the kingdom, then the kingdom of God becomes the rule, the magistrate, the authority of our minds, and literally the kingdom of heaven is within us. We are, in essence, the earth. We're created from dust. So if it's ruling here, that's really what Christ is talking about, not ruling the soil and trying to rule the governments and become, you know, affiliated with all the problems and the governmental influences around the world and get angry. And you know what? We can vote ourselves. And I believe, listen, you should cast your vote for who God tells you to cast your vote for, but you better cast it on the kingdom of God, Christ within me. The Lord reigns and rules in my heart. Remember, God God holds the heart of the kings in his hand. And when the body, and as the body of Christ, comes together in the unity of the faith, which is what Paul talked about, that's when it's going to look like the world is turning into a different place. Not because our focus was on doing so, but our focus was, as Christ was, on the kingdom of God and repenting. What does that mean? Turn away from yourself, turn away from your own idolatry, trying to reign and rule on your own, in your own authority, based on your own emotions, what you think is right and wrong, and let Christ live in you. Let Christ's fullness be manifest in you. Let's see what happens. It won't be like it is. It'll be the way it's supposed to be, because we become the very essence of his word.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be something that no one expects. It's going to look anything like it's not going to be anything like what we expect it to look like.
No, because we're not going to be able to point our finger at an area and say, look what we did. Think about it like this. You know, a child is born and it grows and it's nurtured and it becomes, if it's a boy, it becomes a man. If it's a girl, it becomes a woman. How do we do that? The word says it's like this. It's like the kingdom of God, Jesus said, it's like a man that scattered seed on his property, on the land, in the earth. And he woke up and went to bed, and one day woke up and it grew and he didn't know how.
Yeah.
But what he did is he sowed the seed, knowing it doesn't have to make sense to me. I can't figure out exactly how it happens. I just know it does. And that's how we need to believe. I can't figure it out. I'm not supposed to, because God is God. And he's so God, and he's so present, and so powerful, and so beyond our finding out. We can't find it out. We can't figure it out. Well, we can't figure it out, but we can find it out, because as we seek him, as we believe, he's just manifest in us just like the seed is in the soil. It just turns into something that looks totally different. And we didn't do anything except sow it and believe it.
And God did. Similarly, like you talked about a lot recently, like John 15. And abiding in him produces this fruit that we don't have control over forcing the fruit to grow. Uh-huh. It's only in all we can do is make the choice to abide in him.
Yeah, make the choice to abide in it. I just believe it's that simple governing power in the earth, whether people believe it or not. Faith. Who do you believe and what do you believe? As for me and my house, we're going to believe the Lord. I believe the kingdom of God is within us. I believe God reigns and rules in the hearts of men. I believe God rules over the circle of the earth. I don't believe we're going to Hades in a handbasket. I believe God's kingdom is being manifest, and there are people around the world of all nations and all ages that God is revealing this to, and there is a great awakening. The vines have been pruned, and when a vine is pruned, it wakes up. Mm-hmm. And it says something to the vine. It says, it's time to look for the fruit. It's time to look for the fruit.
Amen to that. And I know we're getting close to wrapping up, but just bringing it down to a personal level, we were actually about to talk about this before we even started rolling, but there was something you actually spoke about on Sunday that really, really just resonated me about pruning and about the idea of bearing fruit. And, you know, it's something you've been talking about last couple services as well. And I think about times and seasons in my own life where things might feel more stagnant, not happening, and the understanding, of course, that God is doing something, that he's producing fruit, or that's a pruning season. But then I thought about, you know, my own life. There's been, being fortunate and blessed to be under your ministry and some of the prophetic words that you've spoken, which you've spoken many to my life. And then sometimes what'll be interesting is there'll be a word and there'll be like this almost small manifestation of it. Something will happen that feels so in particular to this particular word, and it'll like pop up and it'll be like, oh my gosh, that was just like this. It's happening. And then it feels like, okay, then it doesn't happen. Right. It's like, and I could point to a whole litany of all these words from you and some other people that I cherish that it's like, okay, I believe it from God anyways, but this manifestation, though it didn't carry out to what I believed it was going to be, was such a miraculous thing to even have this little signpost happen. Yeah. There's no other way but God. Yeah. And I would think about that. And then you said something on Sunday that about the idea of that right at the time of pruning is at that time of excitement, that as it's something's about to happen almost. And then that pruning actually makes produces the greatest impact to create the future fruit to be even stronger.
Yeah.
And so it was really an interesting answer to me to go like, I've been through my whole life, so many things almost happening according to certain words, and those almost are still kind of miracles in themselves. And then, okay, more time, you know, beyond the idea that I can wrap my head around the fact that they're happening anyways, but to see and to understand that it really has to be that in some ways, because that means that's what's really getting the fruit to start producing.
Yeah. We live more internally than we do externally, although we're so aware of the external life, what's around us, what's going on around us. And no matter what takes place on the outside, it's the internals, our minds, our souls, our spirits, that really tell us whether or not it's enjoyable or not. Mm-hmm. It determines the level of appreciation or rejection that we're going to experience based on what we feel inside. In other words, whatever happens on the outside, it's the inside that tells you it's good or bad.
Right.
It says, this is great, I'm really enjoying it, or not.
Totally.
When a vine is pruned, it does something on the internal side. When you don't see what you want to see, what you really want and really need to have happen is taking place in
inside,
you.
Yeah.
So when those things take place on the outside, that's when you see, wow, that is a blessing from the Lord. And let's do this. Let's close. Let's address this.
Amen.
In the next podcast.
Right. Sounds good.
God bless. Thank you all for joining us today, Pulling on Heaven 24/7. It's who we are. It's what we do. Steve, thank you as always for joining me. It's always so, it just feels like we could talk from sunup to sundown totally. Because it's such a real, powerful, life-changing experience. And I can never talk about the kingdom of God, no matter how much I believe God is revealed, experienced in it, that I don't walk away going, now there's another aspect of the kingdom of God. Boy, that just changed my mind. It's like this never-ending lens perspective that constantly changes but stays connected to the foundation of what the kingdom of God is. You just get to see and see, enjoy and enjoy more and more and more. And this has been one of those days as well. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Until next time.